Salute. Salute, everybody. Ah, nice cup of coffee. Hope everybody is doing good. It is Sunday evening, 9 o'clock, I tell you. I wish all the shows would be this early. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I think we probably have to adjust some show times in the future. Not easy to do on Mondays with Raw ending at 11. Not easy to do on Wednesdays with AEW ending at 10. But Thursday, Saturday, Friday, I'm still keeping the night off. You know, we got to maybe consider doing it a little bit earlier. What's up, everybody? This is the pilot episode. The sit-down. No graphics yet for the sit-down with yours truly. No opening intro yet. They're being worked on as we speak. I would say by next week, every show should have a brand new fresh intro, especially no more Karrion Kross in WWE, let alone NXT. I'm looking forward to it. Stefan, I'm not kidding with you. I completely forgot that the big event was this weekend. They did a piss poor job promoting it this time around. A piss poor job. I will tell you that tomorrow when we do breakfast soup with Mish, breakfast soup raw, I want to share with you an autograph signing that went down at the big event, which I just thought was freaking outrageous as far as the money. I mean, we're talking, there was, I think the minimum package might have been $300. This is not The Undertaker, with all due respect. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But, yeah, thank you, Prince Alberts. Yes, we had 22,000 subscribers. A couple away from 22,100. I want to give a shout-out to the maniac, the manic magician bitch. Welcome to the family, the newest member of the Elite VIP family. Welcome. Much love. So, check it out. This show tonight is just a pilot episode. It's not going to be perfect. Hopefully the calls don't go way too long per person. You know, you got to treat it like the drive-thru. You know, you order your food, you pay, you get out of there. You don't go stay at the counter and like, what are the ingredients in the Big Mac? If I wanted to have two, could you put it in one bun instead of two? Like, you know, we got to keep it going. Now, as we do this, you know, we'll tweak some things. I don't expect the audience to be huge and tremendous tonight for the simple reason that not everybody is aware of the show. I know a lot of you out there, we're going to go out of your way to spread the word a little bit more. So I'm sure some people, even on the YouTube search with the live call-ins, you know, they want to hear live calls. They probably want to call in themselves. So we're going to take calls within 5 minutes. So, and as far as that thumbnail, you know, the one I put it, you know, to tease the show, that is just temporary. I'll probably have something a little bit more professional made up. Bob the Builder. You'll see it pop up on the screen in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Talk to me. I'm waiting for the question to pop up, and then I'll answer it. Bob the Builder, thank you for the 5 spot. The super chat. What are my thoughts on Bruce Pritchard and John Laurinaitis? Do I think they are a hindrance to WWE creative? Or do I think they need a younger voice? Okay, this is the best way I could explain this. And obviously we're going to take calls, but we're also going to do some super chats as well. And by the way, I started shifting things around in the background because of this thing. It kind of blocks a few things. My thoughts on Bruce Pritchard and John Laurinaitis is this. When you're a billion-dollar corporation, you have to be cold. See, when Bryan Danielson recently said he loves Vince McMahon, but he hates the corporate world and he hates how you're rewarded for firing people, and I say this with all due respect, then why the hell did you sign with them in the first place? When you get the paycheck for years and years and years and years and years, it's fine. But when the paycheck stops, suddenly evil against the corporate machine don't work for the corporate machine. Simple as that. You know, everybody says blood money, Saudi Arabia. They still take money. They still work. Very selfish people out there. Just because someone is nice, may look nice, may sound nice, they might smell nice. Very, very hypocritical. Very, you know, that social outrage, that selective outrage. You know, when you actually dissect it, I admire the people that, you know, hey, you know, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in this, and I don't believe in this, so I don't do it. Period. I may not agree with it, but they stick to their guns. Not when it's just a little convenient for them. So to answer your question, in a billion-dollar corporate world, did you have to release people, even if it's terrible, even if you feel awful about it? There's not many people that could be that cold and blunt. There's not many John Laurinaitises in this world, let's be honest. Because he just sends the release, look, budget cuts. And we have already discussed budget cuts, so you know the deal. It's not the emotional stuff that people put online. Oh, the record profits, how did they have them budget cuts? They don't have a clue about business. Thank you, Bob, for the added deuce. Talking creatively? Yeah, I'm getting to that. I'm getting to that. So you need John Laurinaitis to be brutally honest, blunt, have the balls to fire people or let them out of their independent contracts. Now, as far as creative goes, if anybody goes to the beginning of my YouTube channel, I have a clip up from 1985 that it's been up on YouTube for over 10 years. And the clip is Vince McMahon saying in 1985, Rocka, shout out to you, my friend. Thank you. Since 1985, Vince McMahon has been talking about WWF being sports entertainment. Of course it's pro wrestling. It's sports entertainment, professional wrestling. It's a different style. It's a different genre. We're now in 2021. What is that, 36 years later, almost 37 years later, and these geniuses online, from journalists to podcasters, still haven't figured it out? As long as Vince McMahon is the head honcho in this, he has a certain direction that he's going to go. The larger than life, you know, the really, really tough people, the ones who can handle it physically and mentally. I know that sounds awful. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing. I'm just telling you my opinion. So as far as Bruce Pritchard goes, Bruce Pritchard fits that role for Vince perfectly. Sorry, you're not going to get a Ring of Honor version of WWE. If Ring of Honor was so spectacular, why they only draw, on average, 2 rows of fans, 3 rows of fans? MLW, nice, not bad. I enjoyed their product. If it was so unbelievable, spectacular, you had the perfect formula, how come they only draw 600? And you could go down the line, Impact Wrestling. If they're so much better than WWE, how come they only draw 90,000? 79,000, excuse me. So Bruce Pritchard fits the WWE style perfectly. Period. Every promotion is professional wrestling. Even if one seems more realistic than the other, it's still professional wrestling. Everybody has a different style to it. Bruce Pritchard fits like a glove. That's my honest take on both of them. Hopefully I answered it the right. And if you're going to ask me if I have a problem with Bruce Pritchard or John Laurinaitis, no, I don't. I don't. I know that might sound messed up, but if I had a $1 billion corporation, I need a stern, you know, hard nose. Whatever I tell him to do, he works for me. Whatever I tell him to do, as long as it's not abuse, you know, or taking advantage, he does it. He does it. There's not many people that'll do that. You know, so anyway, this is a call-in show, and we will mix in some super chats from time to time. So let's do this. Boom. Now, I just realized, here's my first screw-up for today. The phone number for tonight's episode is the toll-free number. I forgot to set up the text for it. So I'm going to read you the, I'm just pulling it up. I know you're going to say, he doesn't have it memorized. Of course I have it memorized. I just want to make sure I don't make a mistake. So on the screen, you could see 225 Don Tony, which is 225-366-8669. If you deal with toll charges and you want a toll-free number to call in instead, mark this down, and I'll repeat it at certain times throughout the show, 833-366-8686. I am lifting the Do Not Disturb. Let's hope. I'm using a different program now. Let's hope that it works. And like I said, tonight is just a trial run. It's just a pilot episode. You know, hey, it may end up turning out to be an awesome show. But we'll see how it goes. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
What's up, DT? It's me, Blazing Bolts.
Hey, Blazing Bolts. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. Pretty amped for a strictly a call-in show with some chat mixed in. So what's on your mind?
Not much, man. Just wanted to say, first off, congratulations on your new podcast hiring on Blue Wire, right?
Yes, Blue Wire. BlueWirePods.com. I know not everybody out there had heard of them before, but, you know, when you see the wrestling shows that are on there, there's only six. They have about 150 sports shows total. And what's great about them is they have some pretty strong companies buying advertising from them. And you look at the names out there, they're all top names. I mean, so it's quality over quantity. So, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I had opportunities to join other networks in the last couple of years, but this one just felt perfect. So I'm excited. And everything should be officially under their banner by tomorrow, which is Monday, or Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So next 2-3 days, everything's going to be in full force.
Oh, I'm happy to hear. I have honestly never heard of Blue Wire, but I definitely will check it out.
Yeah. I mean, as I showed the other day, I don't know if I have, I think I may have the banner in front of me if everybody looks at the screen. And we had a good laugh about it on Thursday. Let me pull this up. This is the wrestling shows that are on their network right now. And when you realize that the only shows on there is Chris Van Vliet, Chavo Guerrero, Sam Roberts, Gallows and Anderson, and the other two shows, Top Rope Nation and What's Wrong with Wrestling. I mean, I think like almost every single one of them are blue check marks, and they're all big shows. And it looks weird to see me in the company of them. I mean, I'm honestly honored and I'm humbled, and I plan on kicking all their asses. I plan in a matter of, give me 2-3 months, and when people go on that site to see what's the top shows, like as far as viewership goes or listenership, I want to be above all of them. So,
you know, I feel you. The only two podcasts that I truly hear is you and then Tama's Island.
Yeah.
He does a podcast every Tuesday.
Sure.
Yeah, so
sure.
I'm on Tama. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Talking to him. Yeah, DC, I only have one question, so I thought I would ask you. This is a really interesting one. So recently, Jay White was on, was recently interviewed by Sean Ross Sapp, because he was, you know, interviewing him for the upcoming Battle at the Valley in San Jose, California for the New Japan show, which was yesterday. And so what really caught my attention was, this is what Jay White said. Wrestlers shouldn't want to go out there to have some bleeping idiots on the internet tell them their match is this many stars. It boils my blood that it's what wrestlers do these days. Not everybody, but the majority of them try and impress people who write crap online. So I wanted to know your thoughts on his comments.
I agree with him 100%. Because some of my favorite matches and feuds over the years were nowhere near five-star matches. You know, what one person's point of view is different from someone else. I also feel that everybody has a right to express their opinion on how they feel about a match. But I agree with him because Jay White, you know, people need to understand that, you know, as far as this rating scale that some people go by, you know, that's not the majority of wrestling fans. The majority of wrestling fans just want to like what they're watching, period. I mean, you know, when it comes to NXT, there's a lot of people buzzing about Toxic Attraction. Why? You think they're having even three-star matches? No, because they look beautiful and their outfits tease a little bit. You know, so Jay White is spot on. I know there's a lot of people that were a little disappointed yesterday that they wanted Jay White to be the one, like the wrong Jay got signed, Jay Lethal instead of Jay White, but with AEW. But I agree with Jay White. I agree. I mean, you're catering to such a small group of people. And the thing is that, you know, when I talk about Tony Khan, I absolutely think the guy is committed to give his fans the best product out there. And I am a big fan of AEW. But you could see over the last, I'd say, 8 months, he has made a concerted effort to cater to this clique of people online. And when it comes to, you know, match ratings and, you know, just certain little tidbits about, you know, him or the product, very, very thin skin. So I'm in agreement with Jay White. If you like it, that's all that matters. If you like something, that's all that matters. Eddie Kingston doesn't wrestle 5-star matches. He doesn't wrestle 4-star matches, you know. But everybody loved that match yesterday with CM Punk because it told a great story. That was not a 4-star match. Some people will call it a 4-star match because they enjoyed it that much. So I agree with him.
Because for me, DT, when he said those comments, one person came to mind and one person only. You know who that was? Kenny Omega. That was the one person that immediately came to my mind. He's like, I felt like he was taking a shot at him indirectly. That's how I felt.
Could be. Could be. I mean, you know, if that's where Jay White is going with it, so be it. But I'm in total agreement with Jay White. You know, I think a wrestler's goal is to try to please everybody, try to entertain everybody. And sometimes a 5-star match, you know, is not, like I said, Ring of Honor had some of the greatest technical wrestling matches in the last 18 years. Some unbelievable matches. Yet it still only drew on average 600 people. You know, so, you know, it's not simply about match rating and move sets and reversals and doing acrobatic and synchronized moves and this and that. It's about psychology. It's about telling a story. It's about getting the fans emotionally invested in a match. And that is just as important as anything else.
All right. Well, thank you so much, DT, for your time. Pleasure. I truly appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. Have a great night. Take care.
You as well. Much love. You too.
Peace out. All right. Great call. Oh, and by the way, you know, the former Bronson Reed appeared on New Japan, and pretty cool to see him back in wrestling. Hey, Your Honor, who's this?
Hey, DT, good morning. This is Nir.
Hey, Nir, congratulations. You won a predictions contest yesterday. I don't know if you're aware of it yet.
Yeah, I'm aware. Thanks.
Very cool.
When I saw the Christian and Lucha, you know, not Lucha, the Jurassic Express match, I thought that was it because that's the only match I got wrong. But, apparently I was good enough.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind?
Yeah, that was cool. Well, you know, I sent you the email with a little update. I've been very, very, very busy the past few weeks, but still I wanted to give you a little update about what's going on here over in Israel. I don't know if you saw 2 weeks ago the cleanup that we did in Jerusalem. I didn't have the chance to attend, but that was an awesome, awesome initiative of Israelis and Palestinians going to Jerusalem, the city that is so holy to so many people. Going there, cleaning the land together, making an effort to make the environment not just literally good, but, you know, figuratively as well. Amazing, amazing initiative.
You know, it's a shame that some Palestinians still have to have their faces blurred, which makes sense. I mean, with, you know, their risk of, you know, retribution for going against what a lot, you know, people are just thinking the opposite. But A, it's a step, man, and it's a huge step. And you just got to build on that and keep doing it. And like you and I have talked about in the past, you know, it's probably going to take a whole generation to turn over, you know, to really, you know, get things to where it should be. You know, I mean, I don't want to compare it to, you know, what happened here in the United States, you know, up until the 60s, you know, but a lot of the racial tension. I mean, it still goes on to this day, but the rights of every human being, you know, that before the 60s, that really it was supposed to be for every single person, but it really wasn't. Even with women, it wasn't that way. So it took pretty much a whole generation. It took a whole generation to really turn over. And just like 2021, there's still a lot of racial tension in this country. There's still going to be tension in your area a generation from now, but it's not going to be on the level of what has happened before. So that's cool. That's cool. I did see some articles about it.
Of course, of course. There's going to be tension because you're dealing with two nations that believe the entire land from the river to the sea is theirs, and it's going to take a lot of time to, you know, create an environment where everyone feels basically, okay, this is my home, but it doesn't have to, that doesn't say that it isn't their home too.
Right.
It's going to take time. But regarding the Palestinians, the greatest fear, I think, is not because of their, you know, their peers. It's because of the PA.
Right.
The PA is extremely against normalizing the relationship between Israelis and Palestinians, basically because it keeps them in power. But the more we create, you know, this, I'd say, underground relationship, then the pressure on our leaders will be created eventually. And we need to... The problem is there's a lot of negativity and, you know, disbelief that we can change things. That's basically what I'm trying to change is, you know, keep the hope up. Keep the hope up.
That's all you could do.
Believe in yourself. Try to do small things. I always say when I do like meetings or, you know, live streams or something like that, when I end the stream, I say, go on Facebook, go on Instagram, go on Twitter. Try to find, if you're an Israeli, try to find a Palestinian friend. If you're a Palestinian, try to find an Israeli connection. That's a small thing that will help you change the situation. Imagine if everyone in the region will do that.
Absolutely.
Imagine the change that it will do.
And listen, you know, good vibes is infectious. You know, I know, you know, with social media, there's a lot of toxicity. You look on, you know, some YouTube shows, everything is negative. Everything is cursing, yelling, angry, bitterness. And yes, there's an audience for that. But all I know is that, you know, I feel good. I feel better when I'm happy and having fun and smiling and laughing compared to me just cursing at the world, cursing at wrestling people and this and that. You know, having a good vibe, that is the way to go. And it is infectious. And it's going to take a long time and there's going to be some setbacks. But you'll get there. You'll definitely get there.
Yeah, definitely. So on Tuesday, I'm going to have the results. I'm going to send you an update on email, of course. And I got to give props to Adam Page. You know, he really, really deserved this win. I mean, he was so patient. That's what I felt about his career. I mean, from the first match with Jericho, you know, the first championship match, they took the time with him. They built him up, and he really deserved it.
I agree. It was fun to watch it yesterday. I know some people were concerned after Bryan Danielson won his match, but no, the right guy won yesterday. And, you know, I know that there's some Hall of Fame wrestlers that think that Hangman Page is not a megastar. No, he's not a megastar. I mean, but he's a star, and he's definitely...
He doesn't have to be.
Yeah, you don't have to be. And, you know, even when you look at the ratings, this is why, you know, I keep telling people, you know, don't, you know, get so infatuated with the ratings, because, you know, there are people out there that were insisting to people that they were going to do 2 million viewers, 1.5 million, and this and that, and it's just not the case. I mean, and... That's better, because if you start, you know, trying to set the bar so freaking high, and then you have someone that is not on that level yet, you know, then you start grasping for straws. And, you know, this guy, COVID obviously delayed his win, but better late than never. So good. Let's see how long he keeps this title for. You know, a lot of people think Bryan Danielson will be the first one to take it off him. Bryan Danielson is signed for 3 years, so there's no rush to put it on him or anyone else at the time. And let's see where they go from here. But I enjoyed it yesterday. I have no issues whatsoever with Hangman Page being champion.
Yeah, I kind of have the feeling that he's going to get the Dusty Rhodes title hold, because maybe Hangman is better as someone who chased the title. But let's see.
You know, that means he's dropping it within a month. I don't see that happening, but I agree with you. Some people are definitely better chasing the title than having the title. But, man, after 2 years, you know, they gave him the ball. Let's see what he does with it. I mean, if it just
kind of what they did in with Gargano.
Yeah, I mean...
Kind of get it, what they did with Gargano.
Yeah, I mean, if Hangman Page starts coming off like a deer in headlights... Then obviously they may have to make a change, but you know, let's give him the ball, let him run with it, and let's see what he does with it.
Okay, okay. Much love, DT. I'm going to keep you updated.
All right.
Yeah.
Have a great night. Bye, thanks, man, for calling in. Peace. Yeah, Nears are good people, man. I could only imagine, you know, how difficult that must be to live in that area of the world. I mean, it's... You know, it's there's a lot more tensions. I mean, you think about that. Look at it like this, and we'll take more calls in a moment. You look at what he said, that, you know, Israelis should find a Palestinian online that has similar interests to be friends with. Now, picture me in the United States saying for white people, hey, seek out a black person and become friends with him. Do you realize how many people would get so angry and irate at a comment like that? So this, it just gives you a perspective of how much tension has been going on in that world. I mean, you know, that reminds me more of like the 50s and the 60s than anything else. Because I guarantee in the 50s and 60s, you had, you know, Caucasians like purposely going hand in hand with blacks, you know, whites and blacks, to show that we can all live and coexist and be equal. So, yeah, pretty rough, man. Pretty rough in that area of the world. So, all right, let's open the phone lines again. 833-366-8686 or 225-366-8669. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
Yo, it's Alex, Mr. Green Line himself.
Hey, what's going on, Alex?
Good. I just got back from my acting classes. It's my passion and my dream. It took me 7 freaking years to be on it. It's my passion.
Cool, man.
That's and awesome. My dog's got her vaccinated for her first time for 3 months. You probably remember I told you I have a dog.
Sure, I remember. Now let's make this clear. This is not a COVID vaccine we're telling everybody. This is just a regular immunization shots.
Yeah, for dogs.
I know. I was bad joke on my part. So.
Oh, okay. It may surprise you. I did my research on my dog. She was a girl, not a boy.
Okay. All right.
An Italian Greyhound.
Ah, okay. I got you.
Yeah. I didn't even know who... Thank God she's not a Chihuahua. I'm not a fan of Chihuahuas.
No, it's a little too small for me. A little too small. Yeah. Even though my dog was about this big. So some of you have seen a picture of him before.
Oh, yeah. By the way, congrats for your becoming the top five podcast on the Blue Wire.
Well, maybe top six or top seven. I'm, you know, that's like me saying I'm the sexiest 50-ish Italian person living on this block. You know, there's only seven wrestling shows on there. And hey, if I'm in the top seven, that's all that matters. So, but thank you for that. I appreciate that. I'm very excited to see where it goes from here.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. We'll see what the future of your show, you know. I just want to make a question on the flashbacks, because I think I told you about this before. I'm old school wrestler fan.
Yes.
And then I want to take you back on 2005, and I want to get your opinion of it, because I'm curious to hear your opinion about it whatsoever. When I was a kid, I didn't even know what was going on. It was the rivalry between Edge and Matt Hardy. And True Life and storyline between, it called the Love Triangle because the Lita situation. I've seen a lot. I've been watching that all over again because I'm curious to know what was happening. And it was kind of strange and weird at the same time that they had to work together between these two because they were not getting along because they found out, you know, the story.
Sure.
And I just want to get your opinion about it a bit. Hopefully you have that episode of your hotline back in your time in 2005 and you didn't know what was going on. And what was your take on that day? It was between Matt Hardy and Edge, rivalries and real life.
Well, just to summarize it, Matt Hardy was romantically involved with Lita, and Matt Hardy and Edge were friends, and Edge started getting involved with Lita also without Matt Hardy knowing. And next thing you know, Matt Hardy was released. And, you know, even before that happening, he called into that WWE show and was trashing Lita beyond belief. And Lita just looked extremely uncomfortable. I tell you, looking back on it, a couple of things that I take from it. You know, looking at it this many years later, number one, Matt Hardy ended up marrying Reba Hardy. And he's got a couple of beautiful children with her. He is extremely happy. Edge married Beth Phoenix, and they have a family, and they're extremely happy. You know, they both agreed to turn it into a storyline based on reality. I don't know how Lita came out from all of this, but if it wasn't for that storyline, they would have never done the, I hate to use this term, but the slut storyline with Lita and the sex celebration, and Edge would not have been as much of a monster heel. That storyline, it helped Matt Hardy because nobody looked at Matt Hardy as a singles guy at that time. And I liked the Matt Hardy the last bunch of years than even back then. But it also transformed Lita's career, and it made Edge that much more as a hated heel. And now all these years later, they're in, you know, married to others and have beautiful families. So, you know, I'm sure looking back on it, they probably regret some of the aspects of the storylines, but you know what? You know, you get bad experiences, you learn from them. And I think they all learned from what happened. Plus, they were a lot younger at that time, too. How you think, you know, let's say, I don't know exactly how old Matt Hardy is. Let's say he's 40, 42. All right. You're talking 16 years ago. How you feel at 26 years old, you know, even relationship-wise is probably a lot different than how you feel when you're 42. So in the end, you know, it was interesting storyline. It was entertaining, and it was interesting to see how the careers changed because of it.
Controversial?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But it was fun, and, you know, it sparked some very interesting storylines.
Yeah. The one thing what Bruce Prichard said about that when I watched one of his shows, he says, you know, love is life. It's just life. And I agree with him completely.
Yeah. Oh, I thought about, you know, my relationships at 26 is a lot different how I feel about it now.
Yeah, it's life.
Yeah.
Whatever is divorce, whatever or not, my parents already divorced 2 years ago. Mm. And it's just life, you know. Yeah, I'm not in a relationship.
Yeah,
nobody right now.
WWE was coming out of the Attitude Era, you know, a couple of years after. It was the Ruthless Aggression era, and they were still doing some, you know, pretty outrageous stuff. I mean, the Sex Celebration is perfect example of it. So at that time, you know, the mindset and the product and the storyline, it seems like all the stars aligned, and they came up with some wild stuff. But, you know, they've all learned from it, and I'm sure there's no animosity anymore.
Yeah. I mean, things change. I mean, I'm glad Matt Hardy got a push in TNA, win a world champion. The one thing that a little bit bothers me a little bit, not too much, but your former co-host Kevin Castle says about Matt Hardy, he said, Jeff is the money, not Matt. I totally disagree. You're trying to rip Matt Hardy apart because he didn't get a good push. I mean, just get the guy a push, for God's sake. I mean, Matt worked his ass off. I mean, he's finally a world champion. You never give a prop to him. Yeah, come on, man.
I mean, you know, look, you know, there's people out there that think Karrion Kross sucks, and I'm sure my former co-host gets angry when he hears that. My point is that not everybody's going to like every wrestler out there. And if somebody is not a fan of Matt Hardy and they think that his value is not as high, that's their right to have. I mean, you know, it's in the eye of the beholder. You know, me, I love eating White Castle. Some people that I know say to me, it's awful. How could you eat that garbage? But I love it. So each his own. Each his own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what the future for Matt, man. I don't know.
His career is winding down. He has the occasional match. He'll get a win here and there to keep his stock high. And even though that Hart family office just seems like all scattered and a mess, you know, behind the scenes, believe me when I tell you, a lot of people don't realize how important Matt Hardy and Mark Henry and Paul White and others are for those young guys that, you know, that really need the guidance of Hall of Famers and veterans who have been around for decades. You know, it's not just the physical, but it's the emotional, it's the psychological, it's what you do in the ring. So Matt Hardy is helping a boatload of people behind the scenes. A lot of Matt Hardy's worth is what you don't see on camera. So good for them.
Yeah. Quick one. These are the two guys that you might not talk about a while. Is the son of Big John Studd named Big Sean Studd. Scott Hall's son, Cody Hall. What is the future for them? How come? I'm surprised they're not even on that AEW or Impact or WWE. I mean, there's no future for them. I haven't heard from them, these two guys, in a while.
No, Big John Studd's son, I haven't heard anything about. And Cody, I thought if there was any chance, it would have been MLW, because MLW, at one point, it felt like that was where a lot of second and third generation wrestlers would end up and get an opportunity. Cody Hall is not that old yet, but, you know, just some people just don't have it. I mean, you can't just live off of, you know, a family member's, you know, your ties to a family member, you know, just because Cody has the last name Hall. And I know Big John Studd, that's not his real name, but just because they have that same last name doesn't mean that, boom, should get a contract with a major company. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with them, but, you know, I hope the best for them, but not everybody's going to cut it.
Yeah. What is your favorite WrestleMania arenas in your?
Oh, Garden, you know, Garden, absolutely. I mean, I went to 10. I could have gone to 1. But, you know, it was just my parents didn't want me to take the subway. And then my friends, we were all like not getting perfectly together on it. So I didn't go. We had no idea it was going to be as big as it was. Believe it or not, and this is going to find people, they're going to think I'm crazy. One of the reasons why I wanted to go to the Garden was because a former Yankee manager was going to be there, Billy Martin. And I always wanted to meet him. But my, you know, Garden is my favorite. But as far as a fan overall, Pontiac Silver, though, you know, 90 plus thousand people is incredible. That's a great
one. My favorite is the WrestleMania 9 when you can, that was my favorite because it's outside daylight in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Is that Jim Ross's debut? Huh? I think it was Jim Ross's debut.
Yes.
Sure. Yes. When they were in the Roman outfits.
Yeah, that was freaking awesome. They couldn't. I wish they would do that again, man. But that was a good day, man.
It would be so interesting. It would be interesting, but that was fun. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, but my favorite one is the most is 2006 one, the Chicago one. It was my favorite because 2006 is my 80s days. That was my favorite year at the time. That was a good days when because Ray won the world champion. And it was magic. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Right. Have a good night. Thank you for calling in. Fun conversation.
You too. One more thing before I go.
Yeah.
Is it possible next time that if I give you the notes, so maybe I can email you which fantasy dream match that I can write down and you can make your own opinions about it? You, like I said, you're a writer. And you make the creative control on your thing.
If you could get it to me before Thursday, when I do the Q&A on Thursday, I'll get into it on Thursday. DonTony@DonTony.com.
All right, cool. All right, thanks for the question, DT. That means a lot.
All right, you're welcome. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. You have a good Sunday night.
You too. Thank you. Sean Views. I think ENT is entertainment. I don't think that's ear, nose, and throat. Sean. Very cool. By the way, there's a few people lurking tonight that are pretty famous in wrestling. They're like, break a leg. And I'm like, it's just a pilot episode to see how the calls flow. I'm using a different program tonight. You know, I wanted, before we take the next call, I just want to say two very quick things. Number one, I want to give a shout out to Lee Sanders because I think today is his 10-year anniversary doing shows. Actually three things tonight. First off, shout out to him, 10 year anniversary. Somebody told me literally about an hour before I went live, like, hey, you know, today is Lee's 10 year anniversary. I said, I had no freaking idea. So happy anniversary to Lee. And he's here. Oh, me, Chicago or New York. He's live right now. Chicago or New York pizza for me, New York pizza. And that's not because I'm a lifelong New Yorker. Chicago pizza, the deep dish, it's almost like a casserole to me. You know, it's almost like a lasagna, you know, like layers and layers and layers and this big. Mish sent me famous Chicago pizza. He shipped me. And I made it a couple of years ago before I went keto. And I tell you, I ate all the crust. I mean, the inside was great also, don't get me wrong. But that corn-like crust, I ate the entire crust. I don't remember the name of the brand, but we were sending food to each other. I mean, like we need it, but that was awesome. So shout out to Lee. Shout out to Mish for that awesome food. Also, two other things. Number one, I want to thank everybody for the congrats and the well wishes, especially on Twitter. You know, emails, you know, I got back to as many of you as possible. But on Twitter, and I'm just telling you more of a logistics than anything else, I must have had about 90 people. That may not sound like a lot, but I had about 90 people send individual comments congratulating me. I sent one generic tweet thanking everyone instead of just liking every response. And the reason why I did that was not laziness, but anybody that follows me or anybody that you follow, you know that when somebody you follow likes someone's tweet, it shows up on your alerts. So-and-so liked this tweet. So-and-so liked this tweet. And the one thing I didn't want to do is I didn't want all my followers to go on their activity wall and see 90 posts in a row. Anthony de Blasio liked this. Anthony de Blasio liked this. Anthony de Blasio liked this. Don Tony liked this. Don Tony. That's annoying. I have some people that do that sometimes, and it's like, oh, my God, it doesn't stop. Stop liking all that stuff. It's annoying. So that, yes, Darren says I'm lazy. I admit it. I admit it. One more thing. You know, I brought this up before, but if you're in the chat room right now, if you want to wish her best wishes also, type it and type it in the chat and maybe she'll get a glance of it. You know, there's a young lady that is a huge wrestling fan that does, I think, her own podcasts, you know, not as much lately. And I know a lot of you know who she is. Her name is Jessica. People call her Jessie. And, you know, I had always heard the name, but I never really paid attention to who she was and her backstory. And that was until she was having big-time medical problems. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but I have a family member who is battling anorexia. Not right now. She's in a good place right now. But every year, year and a half, you hear like, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, my God, she's back in the hospital. They're like force-feeding her and this, this, and that. I have a relative that battles anorexia. And I think a lot of it is the social media. I've talked about it before. You know, 10 years ago, it's all about the duck face. And, you know, she just had this obsession of just trying to look absolutely perfect online. And, you know, I heard about Jessie with her condition, and I started talking to her privately. And this is something I've said before. You know, the sad, pathetic thing more than anything about social media, not just the negative posts, but the sad, pathetic thing about Twitter especially, is that people have this weird fascination that when you do a good deed or you support someone, that you have to do it publicly. You have to tell the world about it. And a lot of you tuning in, I don't have to mention your names, male or female. How many of you out there have we talked privately on Patreon? Have we talked privately on email? Have we talked privately on Twitter? And I don't make the situations public. Some who I have helped out in different ways. You know, I set up COVID appointments for about 60 people out there that tune into the shows for their mother, their grandmother, themselves. I didn't post it publicly because I go with the Mick Foley attitude that, you know, if I had a dollar every time Mick Foley did a good deed that was never covered publicly, I'd be a millionaire right now. But there's people out there that unless you put their name like on his planes that do the smoke signals and put the names out there, unless you rent a plane and smoke signal it in the sky, thank you. Best wishes, get well soon. We're thinking about you. You know, it's like, that's weird. So I had talked a little bit to Jessie privately and, you know, was trying to like, you know, send her well wishes and a little bit about a relative of mine and everything. And, you know, she's now in the hospital and she had her colon removed, the entire thing. Any of you remember 2.5 years ago, I had a piece of mine taken out. I had diverticulitis. And this was right before that Lucky 13 event. And me, I had pain for about 6 months, and I still have that strange twisting situation that nobody seems to know the answer for. But I told her, I said, you know, I had a little part of mine taken out. I have no problems. The only agita I get is from people online. So for all of you out there, you know, if you know who she is, Jessie, J-E-S-S-I. Her last name is, I believe, Davin, D-A-V-I-N. So if you want to type a little well wishes or if you want to go on her Twitter and just send her some love because she is in the hospital recovering from having a colon removed and she's battling big time anorexia. And you add in the fact that she's got a couple of kids and they're, you know, not seeing her all that much. You know, she's good person. Good person. All right. So let's take some more calls because that's what this show is about. It is just calls for the most part. So 833-366-8686. Oh, it doesn't matter because we got somebody on the line. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
DT, it's your old buddy. The Guardian of Chaos.
Hey, Chaos. What's going on?
Well, I want to say this, Don Tony. I want to say congratulations first. obviously we knew that you can do this. You're an OG in the business. So to see you have the call-in show, it's an honor to be here on the pilot episode. You know, you and Mish on Mondays, I don't want to go through the whole history. I've been following you for so long. So I just want to, on behalf of the chat, all my boys out there, whether it be SoFly or Austin or even Darren and Sam, there's a lot of good people out there. And so just on behalf of everyone, congratulations as someone from in the business too. I even see Sean's views is on there, DT. So I appreciate you taking my call.
Much love, of course. I appreciate that more than you know. Like I said, I joke around. I showed my fiance, and I got a little advance also from this financially. And I showed her, and she said to me, she says, I don't get it. And I've been with her now for 9 years. And I said, why do you think like this works? And she says, you know, I think because you keep it very real. You know, it's not when I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. I'm not that professional. I just try to talk to everyone like we're all friends. I don't try to clickbait. I don't try to exaggerate things just to get attention to it. I don't put it in the titles. I just talk, you know, and it's I know it's an escape for a lot of people out there. It's also an escape for me. Because life isn't all that spectacular, period. But I'm having a ball. And, you know, there's an old saying that when you're having fun, work, it doesn't feel like work. And it really doesn't feel like work. I'm happy. And I like being challenged. And I like, you know, trying to, you know, just not reinvent myself, but try to have an extension of myself. And, you know, after so many years of doing the same thing, and plus, you know, I got a little bit fed up with so many people saying like, oh, all they do is put people down or put down shows, or, you know, it's always complaints and too much politics and all I hear is about this and all. And I was like, you know, they're actually right. I said, I sounded like a grumpy old man. Somebody wrote that in a iTunes review. Sounds like two grumpy old men. And I don't think that I was grumpy or my former co-host. But when I listened to myself back, I could only speak for me. I'm like, yeah, man, if I'm not having fun, why am I doing this? And I always wanted to do the video side of it, to be a little animated, to have fun, to, you know, show everybody a lot of the stories I've told for 24 years. And, you know, I'm not trying to take viewers away from any other show out there. I'm not trying to compete with anyone. I'm just having a good time. And if people want to hang out and, you know, have fun also, cool, cool. You know, and the cool thing is at night I go to sleep and I don't have to like worry about, oh shit, I lied about this. I got to remember to keep focus on this. And once in a while, somebody will try to throw me off and bring up something from 5, 10, 20 years ago. And my story is always the same because it's the truth. But I'm having a ball. I'm having a ball. It's just when you look at these other shows, like I didn't want to sell myself short because I didn't want to talk them out of it. But when I was having the conference, the Zooms with them, and I'm saying like, how they asked me, you know, like, you have any questions? I said, yeah. I said, how many other wrestling shows are you pursuing right now, if I don't mind asking? And I don't think they got offended by the question, but they asked me, why do you ask that? I said, because. I said, you know, the one thing that attracted me to them was quality over quantity. You know, I had the opportunity to join other networks to have like 1,000 shows on there, and I didn't want to be one of 1,000 and get lost in a shuffle. And, you know, I said, I look at that, and I just... I feel like Maven teaming up with Evolution. You know, it's just, but hey, you know, it's a challenge and I'm all for it and I'm enjoying it. I'm having a blast.
Well, DT, I'm going to say that to say this. It shows in your branding. It shows in your effort and what you bring when you're on the air, whether you're with a co-host or certainly on your own, because you can carry your show.
There's not a lot of people that can carry a show on their own. And listening to you, it's a unique listen. It's a mix of different things. It's like sitting, and I've said this before here with you, it's like sitting in a pub or a restaurant or at a diner and having a conversation and bullshitting with somebody. That's what makes you a cut above the rest. And that's why you continue to evolve to now look where the show is now. But I don't want to take up, and I mean that from the heart, and I don't want to take up a lot of the time, because I know you're going to get a lot of callers. This is going to be successful, and you heard it here. Not that you need my validation.
No, I appreciate quickly, it. I take a lot of value to it.
AEW Full Gear. I'm not going to run through the whole thing. It's okay. I listened to your show. I listened to other shows for the review. I watched it myself. I was up till 4 o'clock this morning, DT, because I had an event last night that we broadcast locally here in Connecticut, Paradise Alley Pro Wrestling. We had something for Fight TV that we were taping live to tape. So I didn't get a chance to watch Full Gear till I got home. So I'm up till 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm listening to your review and I'm checking in with everybody else. And what I take out of it, because I had caught the very end of it with the main event, and we know how that turned out with Hangman Page. And I was one of the few that my prediction didn't end well, because I must have been one of the few people in the IWC that thought no matter how much time he needed off and how much he's been on the run and he really deserves it, to get some time off. I thought Omega had a good chance of retaining, and man, I think I was the only one who went that way, because everybody had Paige and it was well deserved.
Oh no, a lot of people picked Omega. I mean,
I didn't see that.
Oh man, no.
I heard everybody take Paige.
No, you know what? I think the loudest voices picked Paige.
Maybe.
That's what it is. I mean, when you can have 100 people in a room, but if you have 10 screaming at the top of their lungs, you pay attention to the 10. And I'm not saying that anybody's right or wrong, but believe me, I tell you, a lot of people were taking Omega on this. They just felt that, you know, it's too perfect of a storybook. And, you know, now you got CM Punk there and you got Bryan Danielson there and, you know, Adam Cole. And then people are thinking about this person, like, you know, maybe. And a lot of people thought that Hangman Page should turn heel. You know, because that's where they were originally going to go with this before COVID hit. But no, a lot of people definitely thought that Omega was going to retain. And those voices got even louder after Bryan Danielson won his match. So no, you're definitely not alone on that. A lot of people thought that. And, you know, when I started watching that match towards the end and seeing some of the offense that Kenny Omega was getting, I honestly started thinking, wow, I think he may actually retain it. I had two templates set up for the show. I had two YouTube templates set up. One title said Kenny Omega retains or Hangman Page loses. And then the other one was Hangman Page, new AEW champion. And the minute that pin, I just hit that one. But I had two different ones on my screen because I honestly didn't know. That match was great.
Well, it shows that you're up in your game, DT, whether it be with production, whether it be with your connection, stepping up the platform, the subscribers has really jumped. And not to cut you off, because that was a great segue talking about that. And your subscribers and what you're doing and jumping up, it shows in the product. The numbers show, the numbers don't lie. And you've always said that from the beginning. And what I took out of Full Gear, again, I don't want to be too long-winded. Okay. The first three bouts, and I'll quickly break it down. MJF, Darby, FTR, Lucha Brothers, Miro, Bryan Danielson. Those first three matches, what did they go roughly? What did you say? They went anywhere from 18 to 23 minutes, each one of those matches. Now, that right there, with the pacing, remember, I'm watching it early in the morning or late at night, whatever you want to say. I thought that right there was the best part. It went on to have some great matches. Listen, Kingston and Punk was one for the ages. That really stood out to me, but I wanted to concentrate on the pacing and the first three matches and how it really was solid. And I'd like to, again, because it was late, to hear some of your feedback on that, because for me, those men right there, the tag match, what MJF is doing, you're looking at the future of professional wrestling and what these guys have brought into the table, and I think what they have brought to the wrestling world. And I think a lot of fans can agree, especially here with your audience. It was an amazing. I'm going to give the show a hard 8 as opposed to a soft 7.
Okay. Fair. That's fair. Very fair. When I did my recap yesterday, I brought it up. I mean, the first three matches were excellent. I mean, and I think MJF and Darby Allin, even though it's not going to be match of the year, it definitely deserves to be in the top 10 as far as, you know, just contention. But, you know, if Jericho would not have done the frog splash, the only criticism I had with FTR and the Lucha Bros was when Rey Fénix did the frog splash right after Penta did the Three Amigos, and I brought this up yesterday, they should have pinned FTR right then and there. And even Jim Ross made the remark to Tony Schiavone.
He says,
can
that.
You imagine
I
if
agree.
The match just said, that would have been a storybook. That would have been like the perfect ending on the anniversary of Eddie's passing. But since Jericho was the one hitting the frog splash later on, it was pretty obvious later on that, okay, this is why the Lucha Bros did not win at that particular moment. And that's fine with me in hindsight. The only thing that I disagree...
I agree with you on that, Tony. I do.
The only thing I disagree with Tony Khan is, you know, there's nothing... You're not hurting any of your wrestlers' feelings if you have one or two matches go 4 or 5 minutes. I mean, not every match... like the Britt Baker-Ty Conti one, like I said, if Britt Baker would not have done those curb stomps on the steps and in the ring so early in the match, I would have had no problem with the length of the match. But, I mean, she pretty much destroyed Ty Conti, and then they go for another 6-7 minutes, and I'm saying, and it just felt like some matches went long because everybody had to get specific moments in there. And when it feels like it's going a little bit long simply because this person came up with this, we got to include it in there, it's sometimes less is more. And, you know, the first three matches really set the stage. Darby and MJF set the stage, but then you had a couple of matches that I think if you would have trimmed a few minutes off of it, would have been near perfect.
One last question, Don Tony, because there's different answers, and I usually do my homework and my research. I've done it for my career. But now the tributes a la the frog splashes and different moves for Eddie Guerrero, different people have said, and I haven't had the time, I haven't gotten the rest. Is it 19 years or 17 years in that area since Eddie Guerrero has passed away? I'm coming to you for 16. Verification, DT.
16.
It's 16. Yeah. I was wrong on both counts.
It's 16, yeah.
So that's the official years. It was 16 years.
Yeah. 2005 was my transition where I was doing podcasts, but I was also doing a hotline. And I still have the audio of everybody that called in the day after Eddie passed away. And it's nothing but sobbing. I still have it. I almost played some of it yesterday, but the pay-per-view
like
was
that.
So good.
I would like to hear that.
Yeah, I think Thursday I'll play some of it. I don't think I have it in this computer. I'm curious. I'm going to just type in Eddie and see what happens. I don't think it's...
John here. I forgot one guy in the chat, too. Another guy, another one of your... You got so much loyalty, Don Tony. Another guy that I see popping in there... Costanza as well, and even I don't know where's Ken terminated. I think maybe he's been terminated. I don't know.
He's probably watching football. Sunday night football is pretty. There were a lot of people telling me, DT, please don't do it 9 o'clock. I'm watching Sunday night football.
I'll take Don Tony over Sunday night football every night of the week. Monday, Sunday, Thursday, it doesn't matter because your chat room is why people come here too. Your fans, you're following DT.
I wanted to make sure, look, we have plenty of reasons to criticize WWE. We have plenty of reasons to criticize AEW when deserving. We could criticize things we don't make everything unbelievable, amazing, beautiful. But the vibe that I always wanted when I came, and I've said this before, I wanted to go to YouTube 5-6 years ago. And, you know, for various reasons, it didn't happen. When I was starting to pursue this, I started pursuing it in June of 2019. I didn't start until January 2020. So for 6-7 months, you know, I was preparing myself for it. And all I kept getting during that time was, DT, if you think Facebook and Twitter is toxic, you have no idea what you're in store for on YouTube. You have no idea the trolling and the stuff that goes on. And, you know, that was my number one priority, that I wanted it to be a friendly vibe. I'm not saying that everybody has to be PG and can't curse or anything like that, but, you know, no, you know, trolling anybody.
Let's keep it professional. Can we please, everyone out there, listen, can we keep this professional? You're going to see, Don Tony, that you're going to have your lines, 9 lines deep, as they say in the business. Trust me. You know, I just wanted to make sure that I popped in and gave you well wishes and say hello to everyone out there.
Thank you.
And I love the time slot of the Sunday night. I think this is catching fire. This is perfect. So all the luck and success. I'm going to be here all along the way. And big, big props to the chat. And listen, give Mish my love. Will you, DT, please?
Thank you, my friend.
All right, Don. I'll be listening.
Be well, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
God bless you.
Take care. Chaos is awesome, man. Seriously. And I thank you all for hanging out tonight. You know, I like the 9 o'clock spot. I mean, remember, people do get up for work Monday morning. So, you know, if we decide to do this every Sunday, you know, we have to definitely look into if 9 o'clock is the perfect time. Maybe 8 o'clock, maybe 7 o'clock, maybe we rotate. I don't know. But it seems that a lot of people are enjoying the 9 o'clock. Because look, even if we have some call-in shows that go 2 hours, you know, it's still only 11 o'clock. You know, it's not that, you know, we're in bed by 8. I do know some people that do go to sleep 8, 9 o'clock at night. My parents are in bed by 8:30 at night. That's why it's a little nuts sometimes when I have the bird here. In fact, December 5th, as long as my mom's, you know, angiogram and other stuff Tuesday go well, they're going back to Florida. So I got a bird sit again. That bird is used to getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So imagine what it's like for me here to stay on the show Monday until 1:30 in the morning. Then you put it online and it's now 2:30 in the morning. And then you start preparing your stuff to go to bed. It's now 3 in the morning. And I don't fall asleep right away. So I fall asleep 3:30, 4 in the morning. And then 5 o'clock in the morning, an hour later, the bird is ringing the bell. I'm up. Wake up. So, but it's all good. I tell you, I'm absolutely loving the way tonight is going so far. We ain't done yet. We're not done yet. Good evening. You're on. Who's this?
Hey, DT. It's Cruiserweight. How's it going tonight?
All right. You got my PayPal, right?
Yes, I did. Good, thank you so much.
Good deal.
Okay. So currently right now, DT, I am watching Sunday Night Football. It is in the third quarter, but, you know, I did say, if, you know, if you did start at 7 o'clock, I would have called in earlier. That's just me. I want your thoughts on Jonah Rock, a.k.a. the former Bronson Reed, debuting for New Japan Pro Wrestling over the weekend. For me, honestly, I kind of saw this was going to be his landing spot. I didn't think AEW would be the landing spot for him because I've seen, even though I don't want, I've seen how they book big men in the past, and I just didn't see him fitting in there, honestly. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you 100%. New Japan, see, Bronson Reed, I like the guy. And the guy, for a big man, is extremely agile. You know, reminded me of Bam Bam Bigelow, you know, not in the look, but, you know, as far as a big man who really could move around. But I also felt that because of his WWE stint, I think Bronson Reed, he feels his value is more than what it may actually be in 2021 coming out of COVID. So I think in AEW, there's no way he's going to get utilized the way he should in AEW. We've already, you know, discussed that. Impact Wrestling, I mean, my God, they hurt themselves so bad with this AEW influence for the year. But on the flip side, that might have been the lifeline for Impact Wrestling to not be in a worse condition than they are now, because they were able to keep a lot of their wrestlers. MLW, I like MLW, but MLW, it always feels like there's something preventing it from taking it to the next level. You know, a lot of promotions are able to stream on Fight. You know, back in the day, you know, when you had digital streaming, it was MLW, Ring of Honor, IPPV, and everybody, it just felt very exclusive. Now, every promotion could have it. So, with Jonah, he's not there yet to be a big fish in a small pond. So I think putting him in New Japan, that style, I think would work for him really, really well. So the focus is not on him. Yeah, I think there was more people talking about Ishii from last night than anything else. But, you know, there's not a lot of talk. And I think that's good. Let him blend in. And let me say one last thing. His contract with New Japan, you will see him working for other promotions. There's nothing stopping him from doing an AEW dark match. I don't think it's beneath him to work a dark match. You know, so it doesn't mean you won't see him in these other promotions. But for now, let him get his feet wet again. This is his first real challenge, you know, it being let go from WWE. And let's see how he rebuilds his career. So I like the New Japan deal. I like that.
Yeah. Right. No, that's understood. And I was just checking. MLW is on Fight TV with the new stuff and some of the old stuff. I just think, for me, honestly, it's, again, as you know, not an AEW fan by any means, but I feel like when it was Cody who said they're not a big man promotion, and I think you can clearly see by the merit of him saying that, you really start to see who does get pushed in AEW by some merit. My problem stems from with Jay Lethal now coming in, you know, I do hope he is a featured player, because he's a guy, you know, who would hope you would have seen in a WWE many, many years ago, and it just never happened for him. And now, you know, what do you think with Jay Lethal? And then I'll hang up after this, DT, but thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Jay Lethal, I put in a similar category with Matt Hardy. He's an older guy now. I mean, I got a couple of emails from a couple of indie wrestlers here in the Northeast yesterday night and today, talking about Jay Lethal. And, you know, they remember clear as day, you know, 15 plus years ago, going to Jersey All-Pro in the Raptors, and there's Jay Lethal's family rooting him on, and just, I'm so happy with the signing. But I also will say that, you know, Jay Lethal is older now. And Jay Lethal, he is in the same boat as Sonjay Dutt. Sonjay works behind the scenes. And I think Jay Lethal, if he stays there long enough, this will be the transition where you will hear Jay Lethal doing some work behind the scenes as well. I could see him doing something with Dante Martin, something with Leo Rush. He might have, you know, a couple of matches on Dark and Elevation, but as far as him being the focal point and being a TNT champion, or, you know, having championship gold anytime soon, I don't see that at all. I think he's going to be similar to how Matt Hardy's on-air career has happened in AEW. He's not going to be a focal point. He could still go, but I think Jay Lethal's worth right now is to have great matches with young stars that are not ready yet to get pushed to the moon. Jay Lethal could squeak out some wins. He could still hold his own. But in the end, Jay Lethal, I think his job is to help elevate some of the young stars of tomorrow.
All right, DT, no problem. All right, no problem. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Enjoy the rest of the game.
I will, even though I familiar with my team that I root for. but still.
Oh, okay. All right. Have a good night, Cruiserweight. Be well.
You too.
So while we were talking a little bit, and I just realized that I don't even have the Super Chats on the screen because, well, you know, obviously we're not going to get many tonight because we're doing calls. That's what the show's about. But we do get one to come in once in a while, and Darren Gordon Hill sent this one. Larry C. is at work. That is all. Larry C. is at work. Shout out to Larry. By the way, shout out to all of you that took the time to hang out tonight. I tell you, you know, better audience than I expected tonight because not a lot of people out there. I didn't give you enough time, enough notice that we were going to do this pilot episode today. Today, look, like I said, we don't have any graphics yet. The intro is not ready yet. But we wanted to test it out. And so many of you want to call in and just talk wrestling. And it's very hard to put that in Monday since we talk about a lot already. Thursday, it was becoming difficult. So I started toying around with the idea of having a show that is pretty much just call-ins. And, you know, remember, tonight is a pilot. So we're not going to take 50 calls tonight. But to get an overall feeling and, you know, the flow, having some good convo. It doesn't always have to be wrestling. Remember that. You could talk about anything you want. And, you know, we'll obviously include Chad. I don't want anybody in the chat feel like you're left out. You're not left out. You'll never be left out. We're all family here. And I don't just say that to kiss ass. And I just closed the Super Chat again, but I don't think it's going to be really active for the rest. So, anyway, let's open the phone lines. Good evening. You're on. Who's this?
What's up, DT?
Who are you?
It's Rod with Anthony right here. How are you?
All right. Not bad. What's going on?
Hey, man. I've been watching your show for like 8-plus years, man. I love your show. I love what you're doing with the whole wrestling community.
It's, you really, it's get awesome, me man. Through.
And it's so good, like, people like you do this, you know. I just want to know your input with CM Punk now on AEW. You think he should turn heel now that a lot of people, not a lot of people, but mostly people in that last Full Gear, there was, like, booing him. And, like, you know, I think he's a heel now. Don't you think so?
I think it's because Eddie Kingston is got the connection more with the fans. I mean, look, CM Punk's debut, yes, it happened in Chicago. But, you know, leading up to the last week, CM Punk, I mean, the pop that he gets is extremely loud. So they pit him up against Eddie Kingston, which honestly right now, I honestly think if Eddie Kingston had an interaction with Hangman Page, I think Eddie Kingston might get more of a babyface reaction. I think this is more about the fans behind Eddie Kingston. And that article that just came out with him talking about his life battles, you know, and believe me, a lot of it hits home because, yeah, you know, I don't know the guy personally. I've met him a couple of times over the years, never hung out with him, but, you know, here in the Northeast, I've been spoiled watching his work for 17, 18 years, somewhere around there, maybe a little less. But the thing is that he connects on a personal level. All right, I didn't want to bring this up tonight, but I'll tell you what I mean. AJ Lee, AJ Brooks. She was here in New York over the weekend for this convention, a big event, which I completely forgot was going down. And tomorrow, I'm going to bring this up with Mish. Somebody that went to the event was very upset, and this person wanted to meet AJ, wanted to take a picture, get something signed, and I don't have it exactly in front of me, so I don't want this to be taken as gospel, but from what I remember, and I do have the screenshot of it saved, that the cheapest package you could buy, I think, was two autographs from AJ, $300. You are not allowed to take a Polaroid with her. You're not allowed
That's
to
crazy.
Ask. Yeah, you're not allowed to ask for a Polaroid. If you try to take a picture, that you will be ejected. It just like the whole, and it's not her fault. It's the company that put it out. And I'm like, wow, this comes off as like nasty. So you see something like that. Eddie Kingston was supposed to be at the signing. And I know a boatload of people that wanted to meet Eddie Kingston, but he suffered a shoulder injury yesterday. So he went and got tests done today. But the thing is that fans can relate to Eddie Kingston as the everyday guy. You saw him yesterday. He put on some extra weight in his stomach. He comes off as the everyday person that everybody seems to relate with. Yeah, and you don't have to be addicted, you know, be a former, you know, addicted to this to relate. He just, the overall battles with life. So he clicks with the fans more than CM Punk, because what it felt like yesterday is that the fans feel that CM Punk was given this win because he's CM Punk, but Eddie exactly. Kingston deserved it more. And Eddie Kingston getting a win over CM Punk would have helped Eddie Kingston 1,000 times more than CM Punk getting the win. I brought this up before. With the exception of Orange Cassidy versus Chris Jericho, and I do not agree when people say Sammy Guevara over Miro, because yesterday, Miro lost to someone almost the same size as Sammy Guevara. Not trying to diminish Bryan Danielson's abilities, but my point is, you look at the last 2+ years of AEW, there's never really any upsets, like big upsets. Like, you see these made guys, and you could just get the feeling about these made guys. The made guys seem to always get the upper hand when it's meaning for the most. Kenny Omega, oh, he gets a loss. Why? Because he's teaming up with Brandon Cutler. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, fans just felt like, yeah, I know CM Punk, the position that he's in, and, you know, they're not going to blemish his record, but, man, Eddie Kingston deserves it so much more. And that's why they were more into Eddie Kingston yesterday than CM Punk. But I don't think there's any damage. I honestly think, if this storyline doesn't continue their feud, I think CM Punk comes out Wednesday and he'll probably, I can guarantee, will say some kind words about Eddie Kingston. And he'll probably say something like, look, I extended my hand because I realize that Eddie Kingston is a big player. He didn't accept my hand. I get it. I don't deserve a handshake. He'll probably say something like that. And he'll give praise to Eddie Kingston, and the crowd will be right back behind CM Punk. That's what will happen on Wednesday.
I feel like CM Punk is getting stale, man. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously,
Punk has to turn heel, man. Like, he's going to turn stale, and the ratings are dropping, and he needs to do something right now, because him as a baby face, you know, he comes in, get all this up, like, you know, biggest pop, you know, he has turned heel, man, because he's turning stale. Like, already, like, his shine is over like that, you know. But hopefully, you know, AEW could turn the tables around. And I do feel when Jericho was in the height on it, I think Jericho has better, like, storyline than Punk. I don't know, you know, Punk has a lot of, hopefully he doesn't have that much power in there, because, you know, you give a person power, they go over to their head, though. But
what do you
hopefully,
think if,
you know.
What do you think if CM Punk feuds with MJF?
I think that would be awesome. I know MJF could hang with him on the mic. And I hope MJF brings that UFC fight, because they have not brought up no UFC fights. And I hope MJF says something like in a promo, like, hey, if you lose, you better not go to UFC, blah, blah, blah. I thought Eddie Kingston was about to say that, but he didn't. He just say like, oh, don't quit for another eight years. But hopefully they bring that line, you know, yeah, that history of Punk to make it more personal.
Yeah.
But anyways, DT, thank you so much for the show, man.
Much love.
Hopefully we could have Kevin Castle on the show, man.
Hey, I you know, said it and I really meant it. You know, the channel, we'll make it like a special moment. If the channel reaches 50,000 subscribers, and he wants to do it for a reunion episode, I will say this.
You and Kevin Castle, man.
Yeah,
but
I will.
You and Mitch, You and Mitch are cool peeps, man. Anyways, you have a good
night,
too.
Be well, my friend.
Later on.
Take care. I want to make this clear, everybody. You know, I don't want anybody to bank on that idea. You know, if it happens, it happens. But you know me, I am transparent here, and I am straight up honest with everything. You know, when people keep bringing up the old shows on social media, I usually ignore it. And the reason why I ignore it is because, you know, it comes to a point where you got to let go. I mean, obviously, you know, things happened. I do put up that link as to why everything ended is because there are people out there that insist on putting up a different narrative as far as why the shows ended the way they did. And not everybody likes me. I mean, there's a lot of people that dislike me. And those are the ones that, you know, will push a false narrative as to why the shows end. So that's the only time I bring it up. But I will say this. I've had several of you reach out to me and tell me that they have been contacted, you know, by my former co-host and said, there ain't going to be no reunion episode. So, look, if we get to 50,000, and believe me, I tell you, I'm not doing that as a selling point. Like, oh, you know, the quicker you get to 50. I mean, I joke with that, but the thing is, I'm not thinking about it. You know, obviously, you know, things have changed. But people that keep insisting that the past is going to be brought back, it's not. You know, believe it or not, you know, I have actually talked to someone about doing a Minority Report reunion episode. You know, which could happen. It could happen. I don't know, you know, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't. But me, I'll always be straight up and honest with all of you out there. You know, believe me, you know, the perception that is put online is a lot different than the perception that goes on behind the scenes, you know, and that goes across the board with a lot of people out there. You know, my former co-host is not a bad guy. But, you know, there's a lot more to the story that I never even made public and I won't make public because it's, you know, full steam ahead. I shouldn't even be talking about this right now. But again, I don't want anybody, you know, seeing the number of subscribers and saying, oh, you know, one step closer to 50,000. If it don't happen, you know, I don't want anybody to be like, oh, you fucking promised and this is not. No, no, no. Oh, Chris. Hell yeah, there's a lot of people that dislike me. I mean, look, I ain't no Brad Shepard. I'm no Brad Shepard. Brad Shepard is a lowlife, all right? I mean, you do advanced Twitter search on my account. You know, I have not liked Brad Shepard ever. You know, I heard he was in the military. If that is true, I thank you for your service, and I mean that sincerely. But, you know, that guy, you know, he has made a concerted effort to be the biggest asshole in wrestling. I can't do that. I don't want to be that. I mean, I don't know if he intentionally is trying to be an asshole. Look, if that's his character and people enjoy it, Brad, go for it. Good for you. Seriously, and I mean that sincerely. But my point is, you know, yesterday at AEW, there were a bunch of people that work for wrestling websites that all went out to eat. They went out to eat. And all he did was take a picture of them all eating in a restaurant before AEW. And, you know, leave it to Brad Shepard to put them all down. Those are people just having a great time eating. And people find fault in that. I don't care if anybody out there doesn't like Sean Ross Sapp. Look, a while back, I didn't like the guy at all. And little by little, I was like, you know, actually, he's not bad. And now, you know, I'm a fan of his work. He guy works hard. He earns all his paycheck. Then you get to learn a few other people in that clique. And there's no question there's a clique. You know that. And I don't fit in that clique. But that's fine. Not everybody has to be in everybody's clique. You know, I have friends that, you know, I commingle with and talk to and hang out with on occasion that, you know, nobody online is a part of. That doesn't mean that anybody's welcome or not welcome. It's just everybody has their group of people. And, you know, I am disliked by a lot of people out there, but I will never, ever put someone down simply because they're hanging out with friends, having a great time eating dinner. You know what I mean? Like, that comes off as jealousy, you know? And I'll say this, it's a bitter pill to take when it happens to you. Because for 3 years, I teased to everyone out there that there's a lot of people that smile to my face and stab me in the back privately. And this is a lot of people. It's not just one person. A lot of people were doing that for a couple of years. And that was my way, in looking back on it, for those that don't know, that was my way of saying publicly, I know what you all are saying behind my back. Because if you think that the people online are that committed to you, that they're not coming to me and telling me, you know, DT, I trust you. If I show you this, you got to swear to me you're not going to make it public. No problem. And I see the screenshot and I'm like, but, you know, not to the point of violence, wanting to do violence, but I'm like, what a two-faced, you know, whatever. And multiple people, I could say 15 at least doing that. And as things were happening, good things for me, getting engaged and others, you heard me say it, that there's a group of people that always seem to go offline for a day or two when I post a big announcement. And then once everybody posts the announcement, because then they stand out like a sore thumb because they're the only ones that didn't say anything, then they write something. And that's fine. You know, you want to post it to come off, you know, the way it is. But, you know, I don't individualize anybody anymore. I thank everybody. I work for all of you out there. And I want to be the mouthpiece for a lot of you out there. And then when they have good things happen to them, and a lot of people don't acknowledge them, then they get upset. And I'm like, well, how does it feel now? So those guys and gals hanging out yesterday at AEW, eating and smiling and having a great time, even if you don't like them, you know, how can you make fun of that and put it down? You know, that's good. Having fun and smiling and laughing and being with friends, whether in person or online, is a good thing. That should be the norm. Why do some people feel that they feel the best when they get together as a gang and just put other people down? I don't get it. And honestly, it shouldn't be, but it is. Anyway, let's take, how long are we going? Oh, we're just 93 minutes. I said tonight would be between 60 and 90 minutes. So if there's any of you out there that still want to call in, it's only 10:40. I'd be happy to stick around for maybe another 20 minutes. When the calls stop, I stop. So if you want to call in, 833-366. Hey, honey, could you come in here for a minute? I was going to put the nitro cologne on, the WCW nitro cologne, and see, to let her smell it. I want you to smell something. She ain't coming in. She's probably getting ready for bed because she's got to work tomorrow. But yeah, I want to try the WCW Nitro Cologne. We got tons of these. I mean, they're all just, I was supposed to give away. I mean, I got them. Look, and the funny thing is on eBay, these are like $20-something a piece. Look, there's like another giant stack up here, all WCW Nitro Colognes. So Harris, she's been on here before. Go to the New Year's Eve episode. She came in here New Year's Eve when the clock struck midnight. So if you want to check her out, you know, we, you know, wished Happy New Year to everybody. So she's good people. She really is. I mean, she is my better half. And I really mean that. And she loves wrestling, not as much as me, but she allows me to do this. And she knows, you know, this has turned into a second job and it's helping to cover the wedding and other expenses, which is great. But, you know, she's the boss and she lets me do this, You know, Fridays, I still have to take off Fridays. But, you know, she's the baby face because she is the one that's allowing me to continue this madness. So anyway, let's take some more calls. If you want to call in, 833-366-8686. And next week I'll have that toll-free number on the screen and we should have some artwork by next week. So we'll see. Good evening. You're on. Who's this?
Is this the Don Tony Show?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's Ian.
Hey, Ian. What's going on?
Nothing. Just chilling. Just at home right now.
Very cool.
He said he was going to extend the show by about 20 minutes or 20 more minutes. So he said you can get some calls in.
Yeah,
so I just figured that maybe I can place the call.
Sure.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Okay, awesome. Nothing. Just wanted to discuss. I was just going to bring up some sports topics, like maybe football or maybe AEW. Going to ask him what his favorite part of the weekend was, or if he was watching any of the current games, or if he has any money down on the current games or anything. Just like a general question.
I have not gambled on football in quite some time. Super Bowl, I'm always doing the pools. You know, you bet on the numbers. Like at the end of the quarter, if one ends in a one and one ends in a seven, you win $1,000. That's the extent of my gambling. So I really have not bet on football in a while. You know, I'm a Giants fan and it's very frustrating, you know, to see like just in recent years, just the inept that goes on. I feel for Jets fans as well, but, you know, I'm a Giants fan and it's just, you know, going into like 2008, 2009, you know, it was a much better vibe as far as the Giants go, but you know, I'm not that thrilled about football right now. And it's not even about the kneeling or the political stuff anymore. I mean, I actually agree with a lot of it, but you know, I just can't get into it. It's very, very difficult for me. For me, I'm more into the Knicks and you know, and the Rangers to an extent, but you know, football is not, I can't get into it.
Awesome. Dude, was that you that answered the call, by the way, when I first called? Is that you or is that someone else answering it
for
you?
No, that was me. There's nobody else here but me.
That was you. I had no idea because you sounded a little bit different. I thought it was like maybe like the producer or something answering. I had no idea. I was already live on the thing.
I wish I had a producer.
Okay, cool. Was he that again? Sorry, what?
No, I said I wish I had a producer.
Oh, okay. I would be the producer gladly if you need one. Hire me, man.
It's cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask you too. Did you already review like the AEW stuff from yesterday?
I reviewed
it. Did you talk about that earlier?
Yes, I reviewed it last night. There's a review up there. I gave the pay-per-view 8.5 out of 10. I enjoyed the pay-per-view tremendously. There were a couple of moments that I had some problems with, but they were so minuscule compared to the overall pay-per-view. But, you know,
exactly.
The right people won. I was a little surprised with MJF because I thought with Darby being a little bit in the mud lately that, you know, he would get the win out of it. But I think MJF winning that match tells me that there's something big in store for MJF. Lucha Bros retaining was very predictable since the AAA belts were not on the line. The finish was not that great. I loved all the tributes to Eddie since not only was it the 16-year anniversary, but it also was Minneapolis. So, you know, that's the vicinity of where he passed. But the pay-per-view was a lot of fun. I mean, 4 hours is a long time, but when AEW only has 4 pay-per-views a year, you know, you anticipate those 4 hours a little bit more. And I feel like I got my money's worth yesterday.
On that, exactly, me too. I agree completely. But on that point, too, about AEW only has 4 pay-per-views a year, right? So that's basically like them having the WWE's Big Four, like how they have SummerSlam, Rumble, Mania, and Survivor Series, right? And those pay-per-views always start at 7. There's always an early start time by an hour. Shouldn't AEW do the same thing by starting that long pay-per-view at 7, the buy-in at 6, make the pay-per-view at 7, and then have it be 4 hours?
Yes.
They should do that, honestly.
Yeah, I think the problem with some of that is I think it's more logistics than anything else. I mean, on a Saturday, it's not as bad. Like if these pay-per-views were on Sunday, I mean, I still remember. I could swear that pay-per-view with Omega versus Moxley when they had that crazy hardcore match. I don't remember if that was a Saturday or a Sunday. But I do remember an AEW pay-per-view within the last year and a half that ended so late, and I had to go to work the next day, and I was just, this cannot be. So if it's a Saturday, I don't mind if it starts at 8 o'clock. Yeah, LaDude says it was a Sunday. That was a nightmare. That was an absolute nightmare. And it was almost comical how tired everybody was. But if it's a Saturday, I don't mind the 8 o'clock start. I'm with you. Yeah. I'd rather have the 7 p.m. start and let it end at 11. But I tell you, it's going to be interesting if they ever have a pay-per-view on the West Coast, because I would love to know what time they actually would start on the West Coast. But
exactly.
Yeah, and I also think that AEW should consider maybe a couple of times, because it's so inexpensive. But then again, their production is very, very high, so it's probably really expensive for them. But maybe doing like some in-your-house type pay-per-views, where the cost is a lot less, because the digital streaming, the digital streaming is cheaper, yet they still charge $50. So, I almost feel like AEW, even if they wanted to do more pay-per-views, they're not interested in cutting the price.
Exactly. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What about the another thing I want to talk about the show was, a lot of people are talking about this online, like a lot of the reviewers and stuff, was like the pacing of the show. The one critique they had of like the show, because it was great match after great match, but that was one of the whole problems of it. Like, there was not really a part of the show where you can get up and go to like the washroom, or like, here's my bathroom break. And I get like, it's up to the individual person to choose when they want to take their bathroom break, obviously. But like, generally how like when a show is paced, like there should be a match or so, a couple segments that come up where it's like, yeah, it's a little bit lower energy now, I can get up and kind of go take a break. I felt like it was just good match after good match, and like after the match ended, it would cut right away to the next segment of the video package of the next match, and then the entrances were right away. There was not really a time. Everything felt very rushed in between the matches. Like, there was no break in between the matches. And some people were even saying there should be like an intermission. Just like, you're going to have match after match like that, just have like a 5-minute intermission where they say, hey, go use the washroom, go get your snacks, and then come back, right?
I agree.
It's like, how would you talk about the pacing of the show?
I agree 100%. I had mentioned it earlier that, there's nothing wrong with having one or two matches that only go 5 minutes. We didn't have the Paul White QT Marshall match last night, and it felt like they are insistent that every wrestler get at least, let's say, 18 minutes, and sometimes that's not necessary. What they could have done was, if they really wanted to, the Cody Pac match should not have been on that pay-per-view. What they could have done instead was, they could have taken that time allotted for that match, and the pre-show, they had some interaction with Dante Martin and the Acclaimed. Now, we all knew that's going to end up with a match on Dynamite or Rampage. They could have done that segment during the pay-per-view, and that could have been everybody's, chance to go get something to eat, go to the bathroom, whatever it is. And then, because you don't have the Cody match on there, you can have another little segment like that. I guess the only time that people really felt that they had time to go to the bathroom was when Jay Lethal came out, which was a pretty big announcement. So, Tony Khan, there's nothing wrong, Tony, with having one or two matches that only go 5-6 minutes. Or you have a novelty match on here.
I really agree with that segment part too, where you said, put that segment on there, the one that was on the pre-show. That makes all the sense in the world. Because when you see two guys in the ring with the mic and you know it's about to be a segment, that's your cue to go, okay, I'm going to go use the washroom, I'm going to go get something to eat quickly, right?
Sure.
To expect someone for 4 hours or 4 hours and 10 minutes or whatever to sit there and have to watch match after match, that was a little bit ridiculous. But you can't complain about it, I guess. Is that really a complaint? Like, you're complaining about something being too good consistently for too long, right?
So yeah, it's true. I mean, look, we got our money's worth. Yeah, no question. We got our money's worth. I mean, I guess it's like, if you we don't have many four-hour movies, but over the years, there have been some movies that would go 3 hours plus. And you go to the movies in a movie theater, they're not doing an intermission during that movie. So you go into it, there's not going to be a spot where you could get up and just, take a little break, and you're not going to miss anything. But, it is what it is. But, hopefully.
Here's a fun fact about the movie thing. here's a fun fact about the movie thing. Indian theaters or like Indian cinemas in like New York and like Toronto and stuff like that, they have intermission. So Indian movies that's are always awesome. Long, like 3-4 hours, and they have an intermission halfway through saying for like 20 minutes, they say, go get your snacks, go use the washroom and stuff.
That's great.
Theater, so that's pretty funny.
That's very smart. Very smart. You get up, you stretch your legs. If you smoke, you go out, you smoke a cigarette, you get re-energized, and you go back in, you feel like, you know, okay, here's the second half. You feel like you're watching two events.
Exactly. It feels actually much better. And like everybody's actually, they're not falling asleep at least halfway through it. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I had one more question too about the airport thing you were talking about earlier. So you said it was a big event at LaGuardia Airport. Was that actually at the actual airport, or was it like an event outside the airport, or what was it? Like the
it's
big
a hotel
sign or something?
It's a hotel near the airport.
Oh, okay. And they had like a bunch of wrestlers there that were just doing signings and stuff.
Yes. We went to the same event 2 years ago. That's the one where I was hanging out with Mish and a bunch of other wrestlers also. It's right at LaGuardia Airport, which is great for the wrestlers, because if they're staying overnight, they have the hotel right there. And if they're leaving right after the convention, the airport's right there. They just get on a shuttle and they're right at the airport.
So
it's right near there. It's a little, it's like a little convention hall. But it's the setup 2 years ago, and that was right at COVID started. So, believe me, in hindsight, Mish, myself, everybody who we hung out with, we should have all got COVID. I mean, everybody was this. I mean, you literally could not move around. But, it's in a hotel right near the airport.
I understand that. So, and how long has your channel been up, man? I've noticed your growth too, but like someone mentioned earlier that you were at like 4 or 5K views when it first started. Subscribers when it first started. Now it's at 22. When did you start your channel? Like how long ago?
I started doing video late January of 2020. January will be 2 years. Long. Yeah, it'll be 2 years late January.
Okay, 2 years. Well, that's a fair amount of time. But congratulations on your success.
Thank
I just
you.
Want that number to actually go up. It's going to go up. You're going to hit 50K, no problem. Then you're going to hit 100K. You're going to be at 250, and then you're going to be at a million.
I hope so.
Don't worry, man. In the long run, trust me.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Another thing I wanted to ask you too was like, dude, I've watched a bunch of your videos, and like I've never actually heard you talk about it. I'm sure people ask you about it all the time. What's your preferred like wrestling style or wrestlers of that example? So like, do you prefer the Daniel Bryan kind of stiff kicks, stiff shots and elbows, like stiff suplexes, that kind of style? Or do you prefer more of like the smooth wrestling of like a Zack Sabre Jr. or someone? Or do you prefer like the high flying style kind of like of how some of the luchadors do it? Like what's your favorite style of wrestling, and who's like an example of a wrestler you can give that does that style?
My favorite wrestler of all time is Terry Funk. And
Terry Funk. Okay,
he's my favorite, and he would pull a moonsault out. But my favorite style of wrestling is psychology, brawling, a little bit of high flying in it as well, but telling a story in the ring. That is a lost art in more ways than one. I liked Omega versus Hangman Page yesterday. The match was excellent. But it's more about how many BTE triggers could you do, how many buckshot lariats. And sometimes the psychology is missing. And in a lot of those cases, their only use of the psychology is when Don Callis or the Young Bucks get involved. I like when, the wrestlers are telling a story in the ring and they're also feeding off the fans. I think that's why I liked MJF and Darby better yesterday than the other matches. Punk, Eddie Kingston is a close second. And there was nothing scientific about Punk and Kingston yesterday at all. I just like, a good brawl. You could have some high-flying stuff. Chain wrestling, fine as well. I mean, I used to enjoy the shit out of Bret Hart, and Bret Hart is an awesome technical wrestler. It just, I am more Canadian, about the psychology.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree with that. Like guys like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, they really always hit the spot for me too, but... I really enjoyed yesterday's pay-per-view, but I actually like that new, Daniel Bryan style with like the stiff kicks and like the stiff elbows, how he's kind of brought that back.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy that. Like Malachi Black, I actually really enjoy performers like that. Yeah. But I do agree that 2-on-2 match, it was so not needed with Cody and the randomest two, two teams thrown together, right? They could have just had a fatal four-way with those guys, which I think they were supposed to. But, yeah, that match was definitely a waste of time from yesterday. They could have done something else with that.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
But those guys are so skilled individually, honestly. Those guys are honestly awesome and skilled. But you watched through the Attitude Era, by the way, right? Like, you seem
sure,
to watch.
Sure, I've been watching it since 79 when I was a little kid.
How was it seeing that when you wrestling? I know it was big in the 80s, like the mid 80s and like the late 80s was really big too, and it kind of took a downturn in the early 90s. But how was it watching like those two booms of wrestling? Like, which one would you see was bigger, that 85, 86 boom with Hulkamania? Or was it like The Rock and Stone Cold when they were at their peak? In the mainstream, at least, wrestling was truly at its peak. Like, what would you say? Because fans of both generations always argue. The older ones say, oh, you guys don't know about Hogan, man. If you were actually there, he was on top of the world. Like, he was more than The Rock and Austin. But then everybody from the 90s always says, hey, no, man, Stone Cold and The Rock were like, they were the shit, you know? They were the best, right? So,
for me, best way I could describe it is this. When I was a fan of WWF when WrestleMania came around, we enjoyed wrestling, but when we would tell others that we were a wrestling fan, you would get over and over again, that fake shit. That's fake. Everybody would say the word fake. So you almost felt like, man, you know, I'm a wrestling fan and, you know, I almost feel embarrassed. Like you got to kind of hide it a little bit. During the Attitude
Era.
During the Attitude Era, it blew up so big that you walked around and you were proud to be a wrestling fan. And the people that didn't like it, they were the ones that shut up. They were the ones that didn't respond. And when you had the record numbers of people tuning in and, you know, the billion-dollar, you know, company and just seeing everything skyrocket and, you know, just all the attention that it got. I mean, you flaunted and you bragged about being a wrestling fan. In the 80s, it was a little bit more discreet. You were probably, you know, criticized a little bit more. But during the Attitude Era, it was the opposite.
And would you say your favorite from the Attitude Era was, who was your favorite from that era?
I mean, I don't have any one particular person from the Attitude Era, but I was a fan of ECW, you know, more than anything else. So I experienced it the entire time. But, you know, I was a fan of WWF. I was a fan of WCW. And I've been doing it since 97. So I was forced.
Oh, man.
I mean, I was forced to pretty much cover, you know, all three. I didn't have to cover all three. I could cover whatever I liked. But I tried to give all three a fair chance. And I was a fan of all three.
That's awesome, and then that's the original Attitude Era, because Vince made his whole Attitude Era off of ECW, so that you actually got to witness that real ECW. That's actually amazing, yeah.
It was awesome.
Everybody always says that was the hardest promotion in the world. Like, if you actually look at it and look back on the videos of all the old promotions, ECW had, the most lit, as everybody would say, promotion of all time.
It had the most rabid fan base. Wasn't the biggest audience, but...
Yeah, wasn't big at all. Yeah, definitely. But just how loyal and dedicated and loud they were, how truly loud. That's the 90s for you in a nutshell. The 80s and 90s is like, look at that ECW crowd. That's what it is.
And there's a lot of young fans today that didn't get the opportunity to enjoy that. And I think they try to force...
We wish we did.
Yeah, they try to force the issue with AEW and WWE. And
exactly.
It's not the smartest thing to do.
Exactly. I completely agree on that, man.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling
in. All right, dude.
Awesome convo.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. And, dude, you're awesome. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Keep your channel up. You have the best channel on YouTube for this kind of stuff because you're so calm, relaxed, and you're actually very technical with your opinions, if that makes sense. You actually get down to the root of what they're asking and you answer it. Everybody else skips around and kind of just gives your loud, brash opinion on it. But you don't scream and stuff. You're just calm and you're concise and you're clear. And I really appreciate that, honestly. Keep up the good work. In times when I'm feeling down, because everybody in the world is feeling down right now, I think this needs to be said, that everybody in the world feels a little bit off right now. We all know how it is. We're all in this together. And people like you make us all connect in the chat and on that. And you just unite us all. So keep doing that. Makes us feel better. Keep doing that, and we'll keep supporting you.
My friend. Thank you. I appreciate
that.
You have a good night.
All love, sir. Take care.
Take care. You know, that's what it's about also, and I think we're going to wrap this up at this point. Like I said, this was a pilot episode, so I am, hang on a second. Just bear with me for 2 seconds. Hold on. And I apologize for anybody that was not able to call in tonight. Something tells me we might do this again next Sunday. You know, what he said is one of the kindest compliments that can be given. And I want to make something perfectly clear. Something that I shouldn't have to tell you, but I think you already figured it out. You know, when somebody brought up WrestleMania 9 earlier, and I'm thinking Toga, JR's debut, this and that, like, you know, my mind is still sharp. And I don't have anything scripted or prepared here. I don't Google, I don't reference. Whatever comes to my mind, that's what I talk about in response to your questions. My point is that not everybody knows every little thing. And if there's a particular wrestler, topic, promotion that you're not following it, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are too embarrassed to admit that they don't follow this, they're not aware of this, they don't do that, and they'll twist it, dodge it, change the topic, change the question, avoid it, kind of manipulate it, instead of just saying, nah, I really don't follow it at all that much. You know, and that's a shame. That's a shame. I mean, I try to keep up with everything. I mean, it's not easy, especially, you know, when you're juggling so many different things like I do. You know, God bless everyone out there who does this as their job and nothing else. They work extremely hard at it. For me, I have an insurance office that I have to do. And yeah, sometimes I'll be on hold with DMV for 45 minutes. So I'll go on social media a little bit. I'll hang out. I'll socialize online, but I'm still in my office. And, you know, being able to do this and just, you know, just being straight up and, you know, I love his comment about me being calm and friendly. It's, you know, we're just having a conversation. I think some people overthink the shows that they do way too much. Just have a good time. Just have a good time. I mean, you know, we're not on satellite radio. We're not on regular television. You know, we're not held to explicit guidelines, you know, that we can't do this. There's no standards and practices. Just have a good time. And there's some people out there that, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of strange stuff going on with shows. There's a lot of people who are more concerned about being a character. And sure. And shout out to Roger Rubio. Thank you for the coffee, my friend. Much appreciated. I will definitely have a coffee tomorrow morning. Absolutely. You know, somebody became a subscriber earlier. I don't recall who it was. I will definitely make mention of you tomorrow when I go check it out later. But I think too many people out there are more concerned about being a character. And yeah, I have some fun with my own stuff too. But, you know, when we talk about opinions and stuff like that, you know, what you're getting is me, you know. So I thank you all for spending time with me tonight. We're right at the 2-hour mark. So, you know, I'll see what the feedback is from tonight's show. And if it's really good, then I think we'll do this again next Sunday. Well, actually, we may have to. Survivor Series is next Saturday. So maybe we will do it next Sunday. We will see. So everyone on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that like button. I would really appreciate it. If you know someone out there that might like the channel, let them know about it. And I will see you all again tomorrow night, Monday night, which would be the 15th of November. I will be here with Mish right after Raw. And I hope you could join us. So much love, everybody. I will catch you tomorrow night. And you be well. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're going to like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're going to get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.